Let's open our Bibles tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And what a mighty, mighty portion of Scripture this is. We thank God so much for the apostle to the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul. And so grateful to God. I always kind of chuckle when I was traveling in Italy. And this man he was an Italian man and very Catholic, funny guy. And he's showing us all over town, and we had him all to ourselves for that day. So he was quite a character. And if anybody goes there, I'll tell you what, spend the extra money and do that, because that was a lot of fun. I give you his name. But he was a dear man, and I thank the Lord that by the end of the time with him, I know he either got saved or was saved. So I just thank God he's saved. Didn't matter when, he is. Praise the Lord. But I always remember when we're about halfway in, I wanted to go see one of the places where they, you know, thought again Paul had been, where he might have been, matter of fact, killed at that time, executed. And it's a little chapel kind of outside of town and everything. And he finally gets to the place, said, "Yeah, this is Paul's place." And I kind of looked at him and he said, "You know, this is Paul's place." And but he says, "You know, Peter's the man. Paul's a good guy, but Peter's the man." So he kept saying that, you know, as we went along about, you know, Peter's the guy. You know, he's always got the keys. You know, they always have Peter with the keys. And I didn't have time to tell him how many times that Peter lost the keys, but that's okay. I'm just teasing you. But we were joking, and finally got to really tell him. I said, "Now, you've been telling me all day now that Peter's the man." And I asked, I was kidding back with him. I said, "I didn't realize you're Jewish." And he looked cross-eyed at me and said, "I'm not Jewish, I'm a Catholic." Well, I said, "You know that Peter's the apostle to the Jews, so I'm assuming that you're a Jew." He looked at me like I was just nuts. I said, "You know, that's what the Bible tells us. Peter's the apostle to the Jew." I said, "You know who your apostle is?" And he looked at me. I said, "It's Paul. It's that guy that you're telling me that was second in command. You know who's first in command? It's Jesus. But the apostle to us is Paul." Praise God. So, in that, we're at this portion of Scripture to fight the good fight of faith. And let's go ahead and read this, the first 8 verses here. "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And that's each and every one of us, brothers and sisters. Be ready to give an answer to any man that inquires about the hope that lies within you. Because I'm confident by the grace of God, as you continue to feed on this, that hope is going to abound. That hope is going to be seen and let known by God of those that he wants to inquire about that hope. There will be others that he'll just lift the hedge and say, "Okay, you get a shot at him now." But I'm going to tell you this. It's that hope, praise God. It's that wonderful encouragement. Be ready to preach the word. Isn't that wonderful? It wasn't be ready to do a good deed. It wasn't be ready to see how many people you can feed. Be ready to get a big church. Be ready to amass a big organization. He said, preach the word. Isn't that wonderful? See, the word's going to do it all. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And hello, here we are. And that's the truth. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." Praise God, we are there. Think of it. It's just grown and grown and grown and grown. And we are to the point of pretty much complete apostasy. It's absolutely true. And we know that that is one of the great signs. Look up. You're going to hear that blast if you love my appearing. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Always remember that is a crown of an exalted rank of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And praise the Lord, we've read through Philippians, and I know every life here knows that precious portion in Philippians 3, where Paul preaches and testifies of the pressing in his heart. Not that he is already apprehended, not that he has already attained, but he counts the Lord faithful to do it in his life. And he says, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. And I press on, I reach for this. All that is grace upon grace upon grace, but I press for the mark, for the prize, for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So we know that this crown that he's speaking of is the crown that he'd been given. And what does the word of God tell us about that crown? Hold that fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And what is the crown? It's the message. The crown is the proposal. Amen? Think about what Paul has kept here. Praise God. I've kept the faith. Isn't that beautiful? I've just believed. Hallelujah. I've ran in it. Praise God. And oh, what a fight. Oh, what a fight it's been. But I want to just focus tonight on this good fight of faith. This fight, brothers and sisters, it literally means a battle, a contest in the arena for the prize for the games. Wow, that's pretty cool. I know my kids have asked me many times why I don't have any desire to play video games. And I tell them, because I'm in the real one. And it's true. It's a fact. I mean, get there. Get there. It's not imagination. It's called live seated in the heavens in Christ. Get there. You're already there, but get there by faith. See it. Believe it. See Christ in you, the hope of glory. See this precious soldier that God has made you to be, to walk in it. Because truly, if we're not fighting the fight in our walk, brothers and sisters, then we're really not walking or living by faith, even though that's the life we have. We come in this place, you think about it. We come in this place to hear a message so rare, so rare. We come into this place to hear a message that is so unwanted, as we just read. For men will not endure sound doctrine. Give me anything but that. That's what I want. And they'll find, as they come in and they think they want the truth, they'll find any reason, if they're listening to it, to get out of here. The music, the kids' programs, don't have a screen, whatever it may be, to get an excuse to depart from the truth. To get, again, their ears tickled. Brothers and sisters, the rare message is Paul's gospel. The rare message, praise God, is the message for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as we've come to know our Bibles, isn't that just the most amazing thing you could ever think of? If you really are after the Word of God, if you really are after the Bible, and to have that faith to believe the Word of God, you're completely denying over and over as it goes into the epistles, Revelation, all of those things. You're outright denying the will of God, which is to stand, withstand, having done all to stand in Paul's gospel. Preach no other gospel. As Paul said, let me be accursed if I preach any other gospel. Don't listen to me if I come back here and preach any other thing. Don't come, if I come back and tell you that I'm so now enlightened that I've found some new stuff, I'm accursed. Get me out of there and do not attend an ear to that. Amen. Praise God. If Jesus Christ really is the same yesterday, today, and forever, this word don't change. This word doesn't change to fit the day. Oh, no. It's just what it is, and time just goes on. So I thank the Lord that we know this. But see, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear. If it really is crown glory, glorified together with him that we want, then we will willingly and joyfully fight the good fight of faith. By the grace of God, we will want to, desire to finish our course. And matter of fact, let all of the scriptures in line upon line come together with a full joy. See, I've met a lot of folks that know Paul's gospel, but it's like they're going to finish that race, and it's, you know, that kind of thing. I want to have the smile by the grace of God. I know it's going to be hurting, but I want the joy to carry me across the line. You know what I'm saying? And by the grace of God, I have to tell you, I believe the Word of God tells us that's who's going to be the winner, is the joyful runner. Yes, it's sorrow. There's lots of heartache. It's going to be that way. We will suffer together with him. But with what we're, the great love wherewith we are loved, with where Christ sees us with him and for him, there should be a joy unspeakable and full of glory that just pumps us all the way along the line. But you see, we fall in love with that crown glory, meaning him. We'll keep the faith. We'll be fully purposed. It will be a life if by any means, because the love of the truth is worth it all. Amen. And I praise God again for his faithfulness in your life. As I look out here, aren't you thankful that the grace of God made those sacrifices in your life? Amen. I thank God for all of the different testimonies. As we rejoiced in Brother McLamb's life, and I said that very clearly. There isn't a one that was sitting in that place or sitting here tonight that probably had as many excuses as Brother McLamb to bolt out of here. And that's the truth. But what excuse would have been good enough to God to miss his best? Zero. Amen. We know that. And I am grateful to God that, see, it's the love that captivates us. It's the love that, you know, causes us to go on. And you think about even the natural loves that there's been, the great love stories about, you know, how kings and queens have truly left their thrones and given up their thrones for love. Amen. Well, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords gave up his throne for love. Yes, he did. And he went a lot further than just giving up that throne, I'll tell you. But you know, how wonderful for that precious love that we know that makes it worth it all. Now, most people that have heard this gospel, they think, and I've been there, you've been there too, that somehow you can be half-hearted in your walk. And that's true. Well, I know this. I know the bridal message. But I can be half-hearted in my walk. You don't tell me what to do. You don't go judging me. You don't examine my life. You know how offended you can be. And see, when our answer begins to be like that, we aren't running. I think our answer would need to be, I appreciate you care for my walk. Because I don't know exactly what's going on in that heart. God may allow me to perceive it. But if you do care for me to run well and you're encouraging me in love, I will take that. But you start snapping back at somebody, I'll guarantee you right there, there's a hindrance in your run. Your gait is not what it could be. It's truth. I know it's hard, but Christ in you makes it easy because you just love, and that's why you go on. Amen? And again, going back to, aren't you thankful for the sacrifices that the grace of God has caused you to make to be your privilege in your life to go after him? Know it. Know it.
And young people, I'm calling out to you right now, by the grace of God, do it early. You'll be so thankful. Wide is the way of destruction. And everybody goes that way because that's what it is. And it's getting wider. But the joy way is a narrow way. The thankful way is a narrow way. And the love of God is the same love that's going to take somebody that's 70, 50, 40, 20, 18, 10, 5 to make the sacrifice that, you know what, I love Jesus and I want to go. It's the same love that never changes. So, the reality of this half-hearted walk that people think that they can do is that there really isn't a half-hearted walk that lasts very long at all. Because a half-hearted walk ends up not walking. You ask ones, and this might be hard for some, but I pray it's not. I'm thankful to preach the truth here. I'm thankful for the boldness to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I thank God that we can stand on the word. And for those that understand this, ones that have departed from the truth, and you'll get the honest answer, especially ones that have departed and have come back, but have departed from the deep things of God in that doctrine, for whatever reason it may have been, ones over the years that have specifically left the message that by the grace of God has been preached in this meeting for many years. Those that have left, let's talk, say it in Denver, but they remain here in Denver. I'm going to ask you something to ask them. Ask them if they've ever found Paul's gospel, this bridal message preached in sincerity and truth, in the love and the power, in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, anywhere else in the city, but in this place. I just want you to think about for that a minute. Might be people in here that are getting a little offended. I pray they're not. Some people might hear this and say, who does that guy think he is? Stay with me in the word and you'll understand what I'm saying. I'm not boasting about this building. I'm not boasting about this meeting. I'm not boasting in any pastor that's ever preached from this place. I'm telling you the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something about the word of God. It's not divided. It'll never, ever be divided. It won't. It's always going to be one. His bridal ones are not divided. They are not. There's a perfect unity in the Spirit. When we try to divide something, it's not God's doing. The perfect will not be in it. When you separate from it, one of two things is going to happen. It's either going to get watered down or it's going to get legaled up. It's going to get watered down or it's going to get legaled up. It's the truth. The Bible tells us to gather and to assemble the much the more. Talks about like precious faith. It talks about being equally yoked together. When Paul mentions a city, stay with this. This is really the word of God, and really let it hit you. When he mentions a city, it's always the church in that city, singular. It's the church in Corinth. It is the church in Ephesus. This is important for us to understand. The only time that he uses the word churches is when he's speaking of a giant region or a country. He would say the churches in the United States. But he would say the church in Denver. He would say the church in Kansas City. Pray for these meetings. It's a lot of the problem. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I love you. And I love my brethren. And I do. And it's not about a man or a woman reigning and ruling over anything. It's about Christ, our headship. If there's a full bridal meeting in a city, it'll be a church. And it'll be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. But we had better get with it if we really want to win him. Why do you think in the Word of God he calls them mighty men in the Old Testament? Why do you think he tells, endure the hardness as a good soldier? So you have to be pretty unaware and really not paying attention. You know, I didn't sign up for that. I hope Grant never said that, brother and sister. I'm sure he did. Maybe he did. You mean, what? Wait a second. Oh, yes. He's come for your words. I love that scripture. He heard you when you said, I will go. And he did, and he's come for them. And let me tell you something. He's a jealous God. And he loves you with a godly jealousy. And really, as we embrace that love wherewith we are loved, there's nothing more powerful and encouraging to our lives to know that one cares for us, the one cares for us like that. And as we know the Word of God, and we know and believe and honor him that he is God, he's going to perform. His word is true. His promises are yea and amen. It's impossible for him to lie. God doesn't forget. Except, obviously, sin for his children. But he'll never forget you. You are always in front of him. Because by the grace of God, we're the apple of his eye. Isn't that beautiful? The hair on our head, our thought afar off. He's omniscient, but he's omnipresent. He's that way with individually with every single one of us. That's what's so beautiful about God and our God and my God and my Abba Father and my Savior and my Shepherd. And by the grace of God, my bridegroom and your bridegroom and yet our bridegroom. Praise the Lord. Gives you chills thinking of, again, how omnipotent and omnipresent he is. But why do we and are encouraged and called endure the hardness as a good soldier? Well, if we don't think that it's going to be a battle tooth and nail all the way down to the finish line, then really we're lacking the love knowledge for God's best. You read about the life and his hardships. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. I'm sure we'll never suffer as much as he did. But I tell you what, it's going to be similar. The Word of God tells us that. And we will be tested in like manner. Because the bride is going to be of one quality, and that's the best. The bride's going to be of one quality, and that's going to be the first love. She's going to be fully purposed. She's going to be the if by any means. She is the one that is delirious in love with Jesus. So she reads what Brother Paul said in Philippians 1, 29 and 30. And turn there with me. Philippians 1, 29 and 30. Paul says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now that would have been fine enough just as it was. But there was one more precious verse of this sweet little chapter. And Paul says, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now hear to be in me. Now, I want you to understand this. He's saying having the same battle, having the same struggle, having the same fight, praise be to God, as ye saw in me and now hear to be in me. So praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, what we have heard to be in the Apostle Paul. And here we are still seated, praise the Lord. But don't be dumb to it. Don't think these things strange as they come upon our lives. Praise God, this is the opportunity to truly be quickened in love and praise the Lord and say, Lord, you told me this. you've counted me worthy, hallelujah, to suffer together with you. I'm becoming mature, hallelujah, and more mature and more mature and growing up fully filled with all the fullness of God for you. For you. Well, I've seen it too many times that people have left the whole counsel of God. It might get a little too tight. As we said today, compacted, tightly fit, a little too squishy for my liking. Knowing as they leave, that they truly are compromising the truth. Mature sons, as Brother Paul said to those, ye had run well. Who hath bewitched you? At the end of the day, I know who did it. If in my life, it's me. I got to own that, just like you. We can point all around, and boy, we're in the day and age of pointing all around, aren't we? But don't be fooled. You're the man. You're the man. Grateful to God again so much as this comes to my heart for Brother McLamb. But brothers and sisters, when we go that way, when we leave the whole counsel of God, we really do know we're compromising. I've heard people even say, well, yeah, I'm willing to settle for less of an inheritance in the everlasting. I've had ones even tell me, well, I'll still be happy when I get to heaven. And I say, absolutely. There won't be one life in heaven that's not happy. There's not going to be one life in heaven that's going to be fully satisfied. But I will tell you, you're not going to escape the remorse when you turn from God's best. And it's not going to happen over there. It's going to happen here. Because His word is true. And His word does not return void unto Him. And He sent His word specifically to perform that which He sent it to. To whom much is given, brethren, much is required. And I thank God again for that precious grace, the word of His grace that performs this, that pursues us, the passion wherewith we are loved. And that's really as we kind of started tonight. God help us to care even more. Care. Because you're going to care. See, Solomon cared. But he cared at the point it was too late. And you know what his response was? Oh, vanity of vanity. There was not, that time had passed him by. See, that's such a type, a magnificent type of when the bride is taken. And it's going to be here soon. We live for, to, by the grace of God, the coming of the Lord. And you talk about an anguish. You talk about just an absolute distress call. Well, Solomon was pretty close. Oh, vanity of vanity is about as bad as it gets. Because he knew he missed the opportunity that God had so freely given him. You talk about it. And to every one of us, God has laid it right up on a platter for us. Been reading that in John. It's so beautiful. Just eat. Just feast. But God help me to care. God help me to care about my inheritance. God help me to really care about His calling in my life. God help me to quit being selfish and self-centered and self-caring and self-aware and self and self and self and self. And see, when we're just stuck on the island of self, we never launch out into the deep. And self is always the one that will defeat you. Self is always the one that will take you down.
We need to pray for one another. Fight that good fight of faith. Mighty men that bring the water to the king. By the grace of God, I want to bring water to the kings. I think God's encouraging my heart to do it tonight. You get it? You run. You're here on a Sunday night. You're running. I might be giving out a cup, but I got a whole tub from all of you. Do you know that? That's the gift of gifts. Praise the Lord. As we close, faith is an active thing. It's active. And matter of fact, for Paul's gospel, it's a heavyweight fight. 24/7. Even when we're just lying at home on a bed, it's a fight. But that's exactly who the Father is looking for. The prize-fighting lover. Yeah, the prize-fighting lover. For his son. Because she's the lover warrior. She's the one he's seeking. The spirit and truth worshiper. Never forget that. The spirit, praise be to God, all that power is in the love. But the truth, praise God, is the fighter. The sword, praise God, that just stands. Nothing can stand against it. But you'll never stand in truth without love. Got to have them both. See, without love, you'll quit. Without love, you grow cold. And only by having love will you fight. So, is the pressure on? You know it. Be glad the fire is getting hotter. Remind me too. And I mean it. Because he's coming. It's only going to get turned up. I'm not going to fear. I'm just going to look to the Word of God. And he's going to strengthen me as I do. But he's refining right now. You've heard of the refining fire. He's making us so fine that he just can't stand it. He can't. And there's coming a time she's going to be so fine that he just can't wait anymore. And if you don't believe that, you missed it all. Because that's the one who's coming forth for him. And she's about ready. And all it takes in your life, all it takes is to break before him. Break. Quit our stiff-necked ways. That last bit of fallow ground by the grace of God. Whatever it may be, the pride of my knowledge in the Word, the pride of maybe my good walk, my cavalier attitude that I'm okay, don't bother me. I mean, we can go down a big list, can't we? The whole thing is just let God break. Break in His love. Just be, again, He was poured out for you. Be poured out for Him. But only knowing the love of Christ, knowing His love for you, is ever going to really perform that and then keep you in it. You see how vital and imperative it is to hear the word of His grace, to be in it always. When you go home, let your fellowship be in the gospel of Christ. Don't let it be in the argument of a house payment, the argument of finances, the argument of, you know, of whatever the argument may be, my kids or whatever it is. Stand in your home. Fight. Amen. Do not compromise. You'll be so thankful. Because it's a battle that's been won for you now. But you mess around with that, it's a war that'll overtake you. Praise God. I love him, and I know you do too. Let's stand and be dismissed.